Hi, y'all. This is Charity Daniels. I've been telling you the South's going to do it again. Well, the South Shore's going to do it again, too. Monday Night Talk. Leave it where it's at.
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Just a couple of quick things just to keep in mind. First and foremost, we want to thank our newest sponsor, S-Bank. Welcome aboard. Thank you for being a part of Monday Night Talk, along with, McGuigan's Pub, who is our one of our other sponsors, as well as Life Care Centers of the South Shore. So keep that in mind. We thank you for sponsoring the show. A couple of other things to keep in mind. If you just catch parts of the segment, maybe you're in and out of the car, you're doing things, and you like listening to Monday Night Talk, some of the segments that we have, we do put them up on not only our podcast site, but it usually trickles over to the website, 959WATD.com, and it's as easy as just clicking on the banner. I usually do my diligence to make sure I get them up by at least the end of the week. So if you want to check them out, or you can subscribe, and then when we do upload them, you subscribe to iTunes, and it'll automatically load into your iTunes, your Apple, your iPod software, so to speak. Does that make sense, Joe?
Yes, it does.
Just to make sure. If you have any questions, whether we're speaking to a particular guest, MondayNightTalk@gmail.com, and we're also on Twitter, #MondayNightTalk. Now, our next guest, we actually have one in studio. We have one on the phone. We have joining us right now, he is the mayor of Braintree, Joe Sullivan. Mayor, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Excellent to have you here. You have quite the resume, other than being someone who oversees Braintree. You was at one particular time a state representative, is that correct?
Yes, I was.
And you were a gentleman who held the chairmanship.
I did.
When it came time to the House Committee on Transportation. So you're going to play a vital role in some of our conversation here tonight. And then on the phone line joining us, we have Stephanie Pollock. She is the Associate Director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy. And from what I understand, Stephanie, you are an expert as far as transportation needs in many parts of the state, if not all over the state, correct?
Yes, I try to be. I don't know if I know as much as the mayor, but I'll do my best.
Okay. And our general conversation here tonight is basically to kind of take a look at how things stand with our transportation system here in Massachusetts. And we know the governor has put forth a very unique plan for fiscal year 2014, where he's looking to raise some revenue by doing a couple of things, raising the income tax, personal income tax, maybe eliminating some things when it comes to exemptions with your excise tax, just to name a couple of different things. But we're looking at $1.9 billion. That's his budget that he's put forth. Of course, we're still waiting to see what the House does. We'll see what the Senate does, and then we'll blend them all together and see what comes out in the wash at the end. We will put the number out there probably in about 10 minutes if folks want to call in, if they have any questions that they want to ask. That number is 781-837-4900 if you have a question of either Ms. Sullivan or Stephanie. I would ask both of you, give me your thoughts as to what are our needs here in the state when it comes to transportation? Is that too vast of a question?
No, I think it's not too vast of a question. There are some real significant needs throughout our Commonwealth, particularly here on the South Shore. And I think it's important to underline, because everyone looks at the number, the $1.9 billion. The proposal that the governor has offered, and let me just state that he's not filed specifically the legislation yet, but he's offered essentially about $1 billion associated with our transportation program and another $1 billion associated with education.
Correct.
And I think Stephanie and I are here both to just chat about the transportation component. But I think it's fair to say that Massachusetts needs a comprehensive transportation agenda for the entire Commonwealth, whether you're talking about the MBTA or the regional transit authorities or just roads and bridges, or specifically here on the South Shore, the Four River Bridge and some other projects that are needed. We have a crumbling infrastructure, and there is a need to try to create the revenue streams that would buttress what we need to accomplish in terms of our roads and our bridges and as well as our commuter rail and the MBTA here in Eastern Mass, and then the regional transit authorities throughout the entire state. And the governor, I think, deserves credit for at least introducing the subject in such a aggressive manner. I think we all know that when the details are filed, we all have to respond to those specific details. But in terms of his plan and his vision, I think it's important to have that discussion. And we'll see where, you know, where the outcome is a couple of months down the road.
Stephanie, your thoughts?
I think that while there's been a lot of focus on the proposals that the governor has made to expand the system, which I do think are important, the question you asked, which is a good question, is, well, what do we need for transportation? Well, the first thing we need is to fix what we already have. Our system's pretty old, and quite honestly, while we were building the big dig, we probably didn't put as much money into roads and bridges and the T and the regional transit authorities as we needed to. So the first priority really has to be to fix what we already have. You know, folks who get on the Red Line in Braintree or in Quincy or North Quincy would not be surprised to find out that the Red Line cars are the oldest transit cars in the United States of America that aren't already scheduled to be retired. So the T needs the money to buy new ones. So we need to fix what we already have. The second thing we need to do is, you know, the good news is there's our jobs are growing again, and we need to make sure that the system can be modernized. So I'm not talking about adding anything new. I'm just saying, as you know, for example, one example. So South Station, you know, South Station actually can handle fewer trains than it could handle 100 years ago. And if you want to add more train service, for example, as that Southfield development gets built out on the South Weymouth Naval Air Station, and you have a few thousand new folks living there and they want to get on the train at South Weymouth, you know, there's not going to be any room in South Station for the train. So that's a project that even Senator Hedlund has said is that's an example of the good kind of investment. So the two priorities in the governor's plan are really fixing what we already have and modernizing the system for the 21st century. And then where folks have been waiting a long time for expanding the system, as the folks down in New Bedford and Fall River have been for South Coast Rail, the governor has also proposed to expand it. But honestly, 90% of the money is maintenance and modernization, both for roads and bridges and for the transit system.
And let me add as well, it's a 10-year plan. I mean, he's laid this out. The $1 billion price tag seems to scare some people. But if you look at it in terms of an annual investment, it's about $100 million a year.
Is it paying it forward, so to speak? Is that what the plan is to pay it forward, to get things up to speed?
Well, it's a bonding authorization that will expand for a decade, and the funding source becomes, as you outlined at the start, a number of pieces that the governor's put together for the financial underpinnings of this. Now, there are some aspects to this plan, such as the South Coastal piece that a lot of people have talked about, the New Bedford to Fall River connection, that has been hotly discussed. There are some environmental concerns associated with the implementation of that. There are some other aspects, specifically Pittsfield to New York City, a commuter rail line that the governor's proposed that, you know, I'm sure some people in Western Mass would appreciate. But when you look at that, whether or not there is that more of a need or a want in terms of the governor's hopes. I mean, we just, unfortunately, to Stephanie's point about maintenance and just current operations, the Greenbush line and the Old Colony line has been essentially shut down for weekends. I mean, we should look to restore that service. We have people who could use that service on a Saturday and a Sunday, and today don't have that opportunity to do so.
Now, you know, I've heard a lot about, you know, the train systems, transit systems. What about just simply maintaining the roads that we have in this state? Because I can tell you that the state and local roads that I travel on are in some cases in worse condition than, you know, some of the roads I've ever seen.
You don't live in Braintree, do you, Joe?
Okay, so outside of Braintree, Mayor, no. I think that's a very valid point. You know, one of the things that has already happened is that the state has increased the amount of money that's available to cities and towns through what's called the Chapter 90 program to work on local roads, which really need that investment. And the governor's transportation plan would further increase that number significantly, and every single city and town in Massachusetts would see an increase in the amount of money that it gets to fix its own local roads. Unfortunately, the state is also going to be responsible more and more even for fixing up some of the interstates and the major state roads, because quite honestly, the federal government is in the process of backing down from its, you know, history of funding those projects. So you're absolutely right. You know, we have 50 closed bridges in this state. We have roads that are not in good condition, and a huge amount of the money that the governor is proposing would go either through the state or directly to cities and towns to fix roads and bridges, and that's a really big priority.
And the reason, if I could just add, that we're so proud of what we're doing in Braintree over the last 5 years as mayor, We put forth a local contribution of $1.7 million annually towards our roads projects called the 100 Roads Program. We get about a Chapter 90 allocation, Joe, of about $900,000 a year. So we're actually doubling, in terms of our local expenditure, what the state gives us. Not every city and town has the capacity or the priority to do that. We just think it's important. It's a tangible result. It improves the quality of life and creates a level of ownership and civic pride for a lot of people to witness firsthand how their government dollars are being spent.
We have we are taking calls, 781-837-4900. I believe we have Jamie on the line. Jamie, what's your question?
How you doing? Hello.
Yes, what's your question?
My question is, where's the money from the tolls and the excise tax going? Why do we have to do stuff if we don't have the money? Because I think raising taxes, it's hard for people to survive now. It's just getting hotter and hotter with the higher gas prices. I think the thing is, maintain it, like Stephanie said, to just keep things going. We have a decent system as it is. It does need to be maintained. But doing all this futuristic stuff, when you don't have the money, that's the reason why the country is going in the tank as it is. I don't think that's a wise idea by anybody should even be considering with it. Any brain cell right now in their mind. I just think it's insane.
Well, I appreciate the question, and I think, to Stephanie's point, maintaining what we have, there is a cost associated with maintaining what we have because, quite frankly, over the last number of years, we haven't been able to fully maintain what we have. So there is a need to have in place a capital plan that will allow us not only to, complete some projects and to continue, and improve the conditions of our roads, but there is a need also as well to think about expansion and opportunities associated with that. You know, the fact is that where commuter rail goes throughout our Commonwealth, and I was fortunate to be in the legislature, as Kevin noted at the start, we went all the way to the North Shore to Newburyport. We extended restored the old Colony Line with Greenbush, Middleborough, and Plymouth. I mean, they bring property value increases. They bring economic development and activity. So the public expenditure does create a private investment in private dollars, which helps grow our economy. I appreciate the fact that we need to maintain what we have, but we also have to think about expansion that is appropriate and allows for economic vitality throughout our state.
Jamie, go ahead, Stephanie.
And I agree with the mayor 100%, but I would also note most of the money from the excise that you pay every year for your car actually stays in your local city or town, which is great, and it's actually important for it to stay there. And by law in Massachusetts, tolls can only be spent on the road on which the toll is collected. So we are spending our toll money, what we have, to fix the roads that the tolls are on. We're leaving the excise money at the local level, where there's a lot of unmet needs. And so, unfortunately, we do need a new source of revenue in order to be able to make the kind of repairs that we're talking about.
Jamie, do you have a follow-up question, Jamie?
Yes, I understand all that, but I think there's got to be an easier way than making the taxes keep going higher and higher, and they'll never go back down after these things get built. But I do agree that it does increase property values and all that stuff when you extend the trains and everything. I just think it's got to be a better way. I just think it's just people are struggling as it is.
I think, Jamie, the governor's proposal is really an introduction to have this debate, if you will. And if you have some thoughts, and I mean this sincerely, if you have some thoughts in terms of an easier way that you'd like to either send me or send Stephanie or even send to the governor at the State House, I think we're all ears. I mean, I think the governor has put out a bold plan. He has some financial underpinnings associated with that, a variety of, an increase on the income tax, a reduction in the sales tax, a number of other pieces to it. But I don't think he's wedded to that financial plan. I think there are a number of us who want to try to figure out what is the right financial formula to be able to sustain our current transportation agenda and actually grow it in the years ahead.
Well, that's great to know that it's open, because when it's this closed thing and it happens so quick and people don't really get to see what's going on, and that's when you just get nervous when it seems to be going up and up and up and the cost of living. It's, I agree with Stephanie, the most important thing is maintain what we have, but even if it takes a 5-year plan to get the money, don't rush into spending all this money and just making everybody suffer to pay it. I think, something to make it, do what you got to do as a slow process, Not all of a sudden the money's there and then people are suffering to kind of come up with it to get it back,
Jamie, good questions, and thank you for your call.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jamie.
Folks want to call in, 781-837-4900. I guess I want to kind of take things back to the MBTA and take a look at it. I mean, this is right now an agency that's been troubled with growing debt. I know it's been saddled with the big dig. Do you feel that this plan is going to be able to dig the big, the MBTA out of this hole? and on top of it, be able to update it? Or is it better off that we privatize the system? What do you guys think?
I wouldn't say we should privatize it. And Stephanie can speak in terms of the Central Lottery Project and the how there were a number of environmental concerns raised. She was with the Conservation Law Foundation at that time and was very active in terms of ensuring that public transportation was part of the whole Central Lottery Big Dig project. So there were a number of conditions that were put forth as part of that roadway construction to see that we did focus on the MBTA and the expansion, which included the restoration of the old Colony Rail here on the South Shore. So the T currently, they've begun to take some steps in terms of reform. The governor's been aggressive in that area. Secretary Davey deserves credit in that area. The Commons Union as well, in terms of the union membership, deserves some credit in terms of negotiating some of the benefits and all. But in terms of specifically the MBTA, it's an important public transportation system. I think it should remain public. We move through our commuter rail and our MBTA system 1 million people a day. Mm. And if those 1 million people didn't have access to public transportation, they'd be on our roadways, and we'd have even further congestion that we already have. So public transportation is important in terms of the quality of life here in our Commonwealth. And the MBTA, you know, they're always looking at non-fare revenue, you know, beyond just the fare box in terms of advertising, the potential for billboards and some other revenue streams that they're trying to achieve. And I think the MBTA Board of Directors and MassDOT itself is focused on trying to be creative. And we have taken steps to reform the operation, the state has, and hopefully we can continue to do so.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that two things. One is, I do think that the plan that the governor has put forth will go a long way towards solving the MBTA's problems, because it provides operating money to help the T run every year and pay off its debt. It provides money to modernize the system for things like buying new cars for the red and the orange line, and it provides money to expand the system where it makes sense. And I would note, the governor is also proposing a huge increase in operating support for transit statewide, not just the MBTA. The mayor pointed out that the T is carrying over 1 million people a day. What's actually scarier is that just a few years ago, the T was carrying about 1.1 million people a day. It's now carrying 1.3 million people a day, which is 200,000 extra folks. And we recently did a study that showed that it'll probably be carrying 1.5 million people a day within a few years. And you've tried to get on some of those cars at rush hour, it's hard to imagine where another 200,000 people are going. The second thing I do want to respond to is this issue about the big dig debt. The T is paying almost $500 million a year for debt. And about half of that debt is either debt that it inherited back in 2000 when the legislature passed forward funding, or debt that had to be issued to pay for not the big dig itself, but various transit and other improvements that were made during and after the big dig. Quite honestly, if the Commonwealth were paying that $250 million a year instead of the MBTA would be in great shape.
I guess my question is kind of two parts to it. You know, when the Greenbush line was built, it was a over budgeted $500 million project that brought a line down into the South Shore that actually resulted in an increase in car traffic onto the expressway. That's been documented. How do we prevent that from happening again with lines that are built down, say, down into the Fall River area, spending hundreds of millions of dollars in a project that will probably become overinflated in cost and actually decrease the number of cars on the road rather than cause an increase? And the second part of my question is, why should we as taxpayers end up footing the bill for the debt on bad decisions that the MBTA has made?
Well, in first response, I guess, would be, I don't know. I know the ridership projections show a less than we had anticipated or estimated in terms of the Greenbush itself specifically. The Greenbush line was a design-build project, $500 million, as you noted, Commonwealth expenditure, no federal monies with that project. I think it's been an important project for the South Shore, and what I was and I was active in terms of its implementation. What I was concerned about and registered with Secretary Davey last year was the elimination of the weekend service. I mean, I don't know how you grow ridership when you cut off the ability to access the line. And so that weekend service actually, I think, had the potential to grow even further, which would have brought up some more revenue for the operating side. You know, public transportation is important as public housing, public education, public health. There needs to be an investment by the public with public expenditure to see that we can grow our economy. And it's documented. I mean, it goes back all of the, you know, the pump priming days of the Tennessee Valley Authority when there were public projects that were put in place that would pump prime the economy, put people to work, have a tangible benefit in terms of quality of life, and try to help grow our economy. And I think anywhere you look in terms of where the commuter rail has gone in terms of its expansion, North Shore, out to Worcester, out to Fitchburg, and here on the South Shore, there has been growth in our economy associated with the restoration of these rail lines.
Stephanie? I think we might have lost Stephanie. I believe we have John from Quincy on the line. John, are you there?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, John, do you have a question?
I got sort of a two-part one. One has to do with the fact that, you know, a few years back, the governor came out with the gas tax increase, and that got shot down pretty hard. And he's come out with this latest thing, and as people have said, like, there's been a lot of negative reaction to it. Folks don't feel like they need to be paying more taxes. So the first part of the question is, you asked the first caller, like, well, what's your idea? I mean, where do people think the money's going to come from? And a lot of people say, well, the people who use it should pay for it. So I thought, you know, I don't know if either of your guest tonight could actually address, like, if we actually had people paying the full cost of their T-fare, you know, unsubsidized from the general fund or anything like that, just your fare alone, and if you had people actually paying the real cost of what it costs to drive on a highway, not subsidized at all, just completely from gas taxes and registry fees, what would it really cost us? And the second part of this is, I'll just leave it at that because that's a long question. So.
All right, and I believe Stephanie, you're back?
I am back. I apologize for that little glitch. I think the caller raises a very good point. No transportation pays for itself. The mayor correctly pointed out that public transportation is a public investment. The truth is, so are the roads. We all do pay for part of the roads in our register and part of the operating of the MassDOT and the registry when we pay for our registry fees and we pay our gas tax and we pay tolls. We definitely do, but those do not cover anywhere close to the cost of actually building and maintaining and plowing our roads, right, and running the transit system. And it's one of those investments that government makes because it makes the whole economy work. So, I think, you know, it's absolutely reasonable to demand that when the transportation agencies, whether it's the T or another agency, spends that money, they're smart about how they spend it. But it's just not true that we can pay for it through just the user fees, at least the user fees at the level that we have. I mean, we haven't raised gas taxes in this state since 1991. If folks want to pay for the system through user fees, I think that that's a reasonable request, but then they got to be higher than they are.
Mayor, do you have something that you want to add?
No, I think Stephanie covered it very well.
No, well, I was just going to say, Stephanie, I know you weren't on the radio for when I had asked my question, but, you know, kind of the end to my question almost ties directly into what you just said is, you know, I drive every day, and I have no intentions of using any type of rail or mass transit anytime soon. In fact, I avoid it just for the reason that the T is not well run.
But I got to jump on you just for half a second.
What?
Before you finish your thing.
Okay.
And that is think of if you were going into Boston, the money you might save when it comes to parking. Is that anything that is part of your equation, or do you already have...
When you mean money I might save when it comes to parking?
Well, depending on where you have to park. If you have to park in a parking, you know, garage, or park somewhere that's going to cost you additional dollars.
I will pay for parking versus riding the train. Let's
put
it that way.
Continue on with
what you're saying. So my point is that, you know, as a taxpayer who lives in a suburb that's well outside of the city that Greenbush doesn't even touch, you know, I mean, I understand the fact that user service, you know, user fees and whatnot don't pay for the T and the transportation system, but the poor decisions that have been made over the years and have been well documented have put the T into the debt that they find themselves in. So why should I, as a taxpayer, be here to foot the bill? I speak for a lot of people. I'm certainly not alone on this.
Well, I would just say this. You can point out poor decisions, and I guess people make mistakes along the way. But in terms of the transportation network that we have, it is far-reaching. It is comprehensive. And there are people, unlike you, Joe, who do need access to public transportation every day. They can't afford, number one, to own a car, and everything related with that, insurance costs and so on, and the gas prices. So public transportation really does become their lifeblood. And if we did not have that level of public transportation that we have throughout our state, including regional transit authorities, the commuter rail network, and the MBTA, we would have 1.4 million people, as Stephanie noted. I said 1 million, so I underestimated that. 1.4 million people who would be on our roads, congesting them even further. So your travel into Boston would be even more difficult than perhaps it already is.
John, I want to thank John from Quincy. I want to thank you for your question, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Anything in closing? I think what we need to do is maybe in a couple of weeks, I'd love to have...
We're all done already.
We're done already. No. I'd love to have you and Steph. Do you think there's something that maybe we kind of expand upon this conversation?
Sure.
In a couple of weeks? What do you think, Stephanie?
I would be delighted. Yeah. I'd even come down and join you.
Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, nice.
Do you want to say anything in closing, Stephanie? Stephanie, anything in closing?
No, I would just say that I think that this is the kind of conversation that we're hoping people have. Nobody expects everybody to believe that every penny we've ever spent on transportation in the state was perfectly well spent. But as the mayor has pointed out repeatedly, a lot of that investment has, in fact, improved our economy and helped spur job growth and helps people get to jobs and school. And we need to keep making those kind of investments. It's legitimate to ask where the money should come from. It's completely legitimate to demand that every penny be well spent, but we need to make the investment, and the time has come to really have this conversation, decide on what kind of revenue makes the most sense, and increase our spending on transportation so that we can improve the economy in Massachusetts.
Final thought, Mayor?
Kevin, my closing comment would be that I think the dialogue needs to happen. There is a cost associated with transportation, but there's also a value, and the value is critically important to the quality of life here in our Commonwealth. It's a tangible benefit that we can all see, touch, feel. Yes, it costs money, but it's very important to maintain the quality of life that we all want here in our Commonwealth.
We want to thank you, Mayor Sullivan, and we want to thank you, Stephanie, for being a part of Monday Night Talk, and we'll definitely get to schedule this in a couple of weeks.
We'll enjoy coming.
Great.
Excellent.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dr. John Sharp about his book, The Emotional Calendar, coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned. Monday Night Talk.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station, 95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.